Yeah. Check it out. See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Yeah, boy, it's August 9th, and it's episode 162, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only all-auction website. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at Fantasy Auction. We got a great show for you tonight. I was going to say all three of us are here, but there's actually four of us here tonight. I'm making my triumphant return from Asia. We got our two boys here, but more importantly, we've got a guest on tonight. Today we got Jody Smith. You can follow him at Jody Smith NFL on Twitter. Jody Smith of Gridiron Experts. He's got some exciting news maybe he can drop with us tonight. He finished first in the overall rankings on Fantasy Pros in 2012, which is no small feat. He's been featured on NFL Network, SiriusXM, and the Football Diehards magazine, and did some fantasy index. He was letting us know earlier tonight. Jody, how's it going tonight?
It's going fantastic. I was able to make it to halftime of the Texans opening preseason game. So that was really, really fun to watch Deshaun Watson out there. But thanks for the warm intro. You did a great job covering most of the useless information that I love to offer to people.
There you go. And the Slim, the Kelvin Benjamin touchdown.
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up? We're going to have a problem here.
I haven't watched. I've been.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to watch Hard Knocks. No, it's okay. I mean, no, who would know? And I figured that after we started, I was thinking, I'm like, oh man, Jody's probably pissed. He's missing this Texans game right now, or he's probably going to have it on in the background or something like that. But yeah, I'm going to watch it hereafter. I got a PVR. I'm going to watch Hard Knocks and then probably rip off this preseason game just for something to do to lull myself to sleep.
Well, but yeah, there you go. Looking forward to it. All right, so I guess. Though. Slim's already on. Blister, how's it going tonight?
Excellent. Yeah, I had the game on myself, but I've been kind of glancing up at it, and I don't have a very good angle here, and I got it too quiet, so I can't hear all excitement, but I'll catch up with it better later, too.
I've got nothing on, as you can see from my beautiful backdrop for all six of you who ever watched the YouTube.
Basement.
My flooded basement. I'm cornered in my unfinished laundry room. It's awesome. It's awesome. But actually, I don't mind the acoustics in here. I might have to make a change here. Maybe put up a green screen behind me, and I can have make it look
nice.
Like a studio. There you go. Anyways, hey, Jody, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself outside of what I just did, and tell them what you've been up to lately.
Well, I am a 26-year veteran of fantasy football, the last, I believe, seven of which I have been in writing and podcasting and various pursuits via Gridiron Experts. Last year, I started writing also for USA Today's Texans Wire, and I actually got credentials and went into training camp and covered nice. The Texans daily. So that was pretty cool. It's something that I've really thought about expanding out on, is actually getting into real football. But for fantasy this year, yeah. I actually am kind of opening myself up more. And we talked a little bit off the air how I've accepted a role with Fanball this year, which was you know, kind of a dream come true for an old crafty veteran like myself who used to really, really enjoy Fanball's work and the Fantasy Index, which is something else that, you know, kind of in a dream come true kind of way, I was able to get involved in the magazine last year and then again this year, where I actually got to do the auction and the draft. So really exciting things. It just feels like it's taken a lot of work, you know, to kind of stand out, I guess, in the fantasy writing yeah. business, and each and every year, there's just so many more young, really, really brilliant, talented writers and analyst people that come out, and it can be intimidating, but it's nice that I've been able to carve out a little bit of a role, and I'm just so excited that football's here because I'm ready to start tearing some things apart here, and I'm working on a whole bunch of stuff right now, and I'm sure you guys are too.
Well, a couple of things. First, Blister and Slim, I don't know what we're not doing correctly here. We got Jody who's breaking out. We had JJ. All of a sudden, he was, I'm going to announce I'm on Number Fire when just after we have him on. We have Matt Harmon on, and then a few weeks later, he's working for the NFL Network, and I'm in my unfinished laundry room recording a podcast.
Yeah.
You guys are the good luck charm. Everyone listening is going to want to get booked on your show.
There you go. And second, I was doing my research, Jody, while I was driving across the country. And one thing that really stood out to me, I don't know if it was in your last pod or the pod before. I don't know if it was with Rumford or with Riggs, but Aerosmith hater. That you scored a lot of points for me there, buddy.
Oh, nice, man. I'm not a fan of any of the bands. That was with Rummy. I gave him a choice of all bands that I thought were terrible. But actually, I believe it was Aerosmith, Kiss, and Styx. And unfortunately, of that group, Rummy was dead right, because he said, hey, Styx is cheesy, but that's their angle. They know they're cheesy. Whereas there's this group of delusional people that actually think Kiss is good. And you know, not to offend anyone here that's in this group that might be Kiss fans, but if it wasn't for the makeup, they would have never been anything. They're just it just doesn't work for me. And Rummy, I thought, did a great job of breaking down why Aerosmith doesn't really work. And we're all here. We all talked a little bit before we started recording. We're all a little bit younger, I think, than what Aerosmith would have mattered when they were a legitimate, true hard rock band, say, in the 70s. Because I think we all kind of grew up with the more cheesy Aerosmith, the one that started doing all the ballads for the movies. Yeah. And it just doesn't work for me.
I could stay away just to hear you breathing.
Well, so when I heard that, I was like, mental note while I'm driving on the Trans-Canada, I got to make sure that I bring that up because it was wicked. Now I'm going to talk auction, but Aerosmith hating, it was good. Anyways, on from hating to loving, that we'll get this thing rolling. I'll drop the little line here. So if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. So, Jody, like we said, going on to loving, you're loving your Texans. You're saying you got some credentials. You're doing some writing. Any hidden gems you can give us, auction people, about what you're seeing in Houston right now?
Well, we just saw the first half of the first preseason game. I thought Deshaun Watson looked pretty good, but my expectations remain that Tom Savage is going to win the opening quarterback job. And well, you know, what we've seen out of Bill O'Brien the last couple of years is he definitely has – developed a little bit of a quick hook when it comes to his quarterback. So it would be no surprise at all for Watson to get in there. And Tom Savage, you know, he's entering his fourth year. He's spent plenty of time on IR and he's gotten hurt and he's still looking to throw his first professional touchdown pass. So it's not like he's a proven commodity. Actually, in my opinion, Tom Savage is more of the same, which we've seen here in Houston, which is mediocre veteran quarterbacks who just over time just aren't really getting it done. So my expectation is that at least at some time, Tom Savage will end up either being benched for being ineffective or he'll get hurt and Watson will get in there. I think unless Watson himself gets hurt, once you go to the rookie in that situation, you got to stick with them. So if Watson gets in, then that'll probably be it for Tom Savage. It's a contract year for him anyway. But, you know, from my kind of untrained but kind of trained eye, I'm not real optimistic of Houston's offense yet again this year. To me, this is – it looks like more of the same, which unfortunately is going to be another 9-7 season. I do like that they've managed to establish – maybe with Foreman, they can get a second running back in there and that can open things up. But I don't have a lot to tell you, you know, from an optimistic standpoint. I do like Nuke Hopkins this year. If Savage is able to hold on to the
quarterback job, that'll bode really well for Hopkins, who has been outspoken about his support of Savage. And when you look at the couple of games that Tom Savage played last season that he actually started, Hopkins had his biggest target game and his biggest yards receiving game under Savage's watch. So that would bode well for Nuke Hopkins moving forward.
All right. I like it. Slim, I like it.
Yeah, man. I mean, I know you do. That's what I was wondering, though. Is Savage going to be kind of like the Brian Hoyer that was to Hopkins, where it was just like, here's, I'm force feeding you targets. I don't care who's like, I don't know. Osweiler didn't seem willing to do that. I'm just hoping Savage would be that kind of guy. At least he kind of looked maybe to me, but I mean, Jody's seen way more Texan stuff than I have. So,
well, this is something that I tell people when it comes to one of the first, weeks, one of the first practices I was there, last year. So we're there. And the Texans are running, it's kind of 3/4 speed, it's kind of full speed, but they get in there and they put Savage in. It's a 2-minute drill, so they start on their own 20. And it takes it took Brock Osweiler, 6, 7, 8 plays to get the team basically down inside the opposing 40. Not a very good job. And then they came in, and I want to say this particular day that Brandon Whedon was the second quarterback that came in, and within 2 plays he was in the end zone with Hopkins. So it was kind of alarming to see. And you were seeing very early on with Osweiler, he was having problems with progressions and the things that actually were problematic all year we were seeing early on. And I remember standing next to somebody that was in, I think it was with NFL.com, somebody that was in national media was standing within earshot of me, and I heard them say, this is a big miss. They missed on this. And it turns out that, you know, unfortunately they were absolutely right.
Yeah. It's so hard because it sets them back for so long too, because of all that cash, and like, it's hard to fight your way back from those decisions.
Well, essentially, you know, Osweiler basically cost them their first 2 picks next year as well, in addition to the money that they already paid him, because they had to trade a second just to offload him. And then obviously you traded up to get his potential successor. So it's something that's going to affect them for, at least 2 more years.
Wow.
All right.
Tough stuff. All right. Well, okay. So enough of the Houston insider talk, which is good. We should have a separate podcast just on that, because the dynasty fans would love that. The redraft fans would love that. But let's move into auction, because I think that's why people are here, not for our mindless banter, I'm sure. Jody, you just said you were in the fantasy index auction. What is it about auction that I've seen a lot more buzz going on about auction? What is it about auction that you're loving?
Well, with auction, to me, it kind of separates people that are more inexperienced, and it kind of takes more of the luck out of the situation. You know, it doesn't take much for you to sit back and just make one out of every 12 picks, you know, to just sit back and just take the best available player. Auction's a totally different monster in that you actually need to do the work. You need to know a little bit about players, what their expectations are in your opinion, but also you've got to know those values, because you can't just sit back and blindly start throwing out bids trying to outbid people, because that can be a dangerous game, as you guys know. I just love about auction as it just takes out the noobs, as it would be the people that get lucky. Auction generally is pretty intimidating for people that have never tried it. So I like that people that are willing to take that chance to try an auction league. Generally speaking, from what you guys, I'm sure you've heard this plenty of times, once people try auction, they kind of don't want to go back to drafts.
Absolutely.
You kind of just want to expand that forward. And I wish I could get my Elvis Football League, which we founded back in 91. I wish I could get those old men that play with me to consider auctions, or, well, a number of different changes I'd like to consider. But auction would be primary for me if I could get them to do it. Now, I know I'm going to meet complete resistance to that, but it's just a whole different competitive thing. It just requires a lot more work, in my opinion, of getting ready for the auction, and the added strategy of knowing how much you want to spend on each position and not getting caught running out of money or having too much money at the end of it. I just love the whole added strategy of it.
So what type of strategies when, like, let's say you're running into that fantasy index auction, like what type of strategies were you looking at when you're heading in there?
Well, I can tell you exactly my approach for that auction. This might be unique as of other auctions because I had some kind of data to use in front of me. What I mean by that was I was able to look at the previous issues auction. Well, first off, I was in that auction, so I knew what to expect. So yeah. When you actually know what to expect, that actually can help calm your nerves and give you an idea of what you're facing. But I actually had the values in front of me. So what I actually did was go back and I charted, for example, Aaron Rodgers was the number one quarterback. He went for, I don't know, $40. So I knew the QB1 in this auction is probably worth 40. The right. QB2 was worth 36. The QB3 was worth 29 and so on. I charted that for each position. So it kind of gave me, a starting point of where the tiers are first off. And then also all I did was plugged in those values next to my own rankings.
Okay.
So that gave me a determined value. So whatever wide receiver, like let's say Brandon Cooks, the wide receiver 12 in my projections, and last year in the fantasy index auction, the wide receiver 12 went for say $21. Well, boom, there was my value for Brandon Cooks. Says my wide receiver 12 should be worth $21. So that's what I did. I just laid out data that was available to me, which is, like I said, probably kind of a unique situation, but what it gave me was a pretty strict budget. So I knew as the auction starts proceeding, I knew exactly what my number was going to be and to really not go over it. And not once in the entire auction did I actually go over any of the values that I nice. Actually had laid out.
Nice. So, Blister, I was just going to say, like, that's something that we have the luxury of in our, friends league that – we know kind of where guys go all the time, but like last night we just did, the Monday mock. Well, not last night, sorry, two nights ago, the, Monday mock, and we go in there with a bunch of strangers. How do you tackle something like that when you're going in with strangers, Blister?
Well, I was thinking about that as you're getting that question. I think you got to expect the unexpected. I was kind of blown away by the prices some of the guys were going for. I know it was a 2QB mock, but I just can't imagine still, spending $70 or $80 on my two quarterbacks. And those, they're spending 20 some bucks on, a quarterback 12, a quarterback 15, it seemed like. It was beyond imaginable. So I think you have to, that's where you really have to be flexible. And like Jody said, you need to go in and determine what is your value. You have your ranks and how much you feel you should be paying and kind of have that to be, you go in feeling comfortable then in your auction and with whatever happens, you can kind of look and say, no, I'm not prepared to pay that. And if a lot of guys are going for a lot more money than you'd expect, eventually that well is going to dry up. They're not going to have the money to spend down the road. And, you could be sitting there with a lot of cash and a lot of quality players still out there. You might have, maybe you had budgeted, $25 or something for your running back two or your wide receiver two, but all of a sudden because everyone else has spent so much on all the wide receiver ones, maybe he's only going to cost you 12. And then unfortunately you might end up in a situation where you have a little bit of money left over. But if you did in that situation and it was because you were purchasing great value along the way, then I don't think you can be too upset with that.
Sure. Hey, Slim, anything from Monday night that struck you some way?
Not terribly. I mean, I was thinking about what Jody said, though, and I think he hit the nail on the head. Like, you take your – and to kind of echo what Blister just said, he had the luxury of knowing roughly what certain, QB5s and whatever, QB1s would go for. But then, you take your, you rank your players and take those ranks and kind of cross-reference.
Yeah,
and
like
that's how you see where the values are going to come up. Like, if you notice in a draft, say you like Keenan Allen more than everybody else in your draft. I just pick him because he's kind of a guy people are kind of polarized on.
Sure.
If you see that the bidding is slowing down on him and you've got him as, your wide receiver 11, well, then hey, man, this is a guy I'm going to kind of aggressively start to go after because his price is still way down because that your wide receiver 11 should cost you, $40 or $35, whatever it might be. But so, yeah, I think everybody should be doing that. I don't care what kind of league you're in, trying to get a rough idea of the price at each position and then inserting a ranking so kind of rough it helps you build a a value for each player to know if they're cheap or if they're being, you know, going for more than they should. So you know when to bow out. It just, it's going to help you overall build a solid team.
Right. Hey, so Jody, you head into that auction. What type of mindset are you going in? Is there like a certain position or a certain tier of players that you're like, you know, I'm willing to spend some big bucks on these guys heading in and then take my knowledge to get some flyers later on? Or are you a little bit more of a balanced budget when you come in? What type of spending are you looking at?
Well, again, this is knowing your opponent. So this is an expert's draft. So that tells me right away that I know that quarterbacks are going to go significantly cheaper than they normally would. So to everyone listening, that might not be the most sage advice, but in this particular strategy, what that meant to me was I knew that between quarterback, tight end, kickers and defense, which I had to draft for this, that my objective is to go in and spend maybe a total of 25 to 30% of my budget on all those positions combined. And that would put up to 70% of my budget to running backs and wide receivers, which are All right. far more valuable. What I like to do is attack wide receivers. This is the one I'm keep referring to is a standard mock. So, okay. You know, it changes the receiver game a little bit, whereas you can't rely on those Jarvis Landry, Julian Edelman type wide receivers to help pad your stats, and you can, you know, spread your budget a little bit. So this kind of prioritizes guys like Odell Beckham and Mike Evans. I want to make sure that I walk away from, ideally I wanted to walk away from that auction with two, top 12 wide receivers and, you know, in an ideal world, if you can get also two top 15-ish running backs, then, you know, you're off to a really good start. And as that played out, that's exactly what happened. I got Odell Beckham again, and he came in this particular strategy. He came in under budget for me again. I believe I had him budgeted at $38. This is a $200 auction, and I believe I got him for
$35.
$35?
Nice.
Oh, wait, so let me remember that. That's actually A.J. Green I got for $35. Okay, A.J. Green was the only guy in the entire auction that I actually paid 100% for. Everything else actually came in my budget. Beckham was $38, $39. I'm forgetting right now, but still, he came in slightly under my budget. But what came out really, really interesting in this draft, and after the auction, we did everyone, they poll all of us individually, and I got voted as the steal of the auction with Derek Carr, which is kind of interesting because I'm not even a Derek Carr fan. Now, from an NFL standpoint, I love Derek Carr. I'll always be envious of here in Houston because our owner decided that we weren't even going to have him on our draft board simply because of what they did with his brother.
Yeah.
And it was just such an epic fail from management here in Houston. And, you know, we've gotten used to it over
He looks pretty on TV now, though. He looks pretty on TV now.
Yeah, he does. He's in really good shape.
I was going to say, he looks pretty jacked
up. I don't see Derek Carr as being all these people that have him in their top 10. I just don't see it. I don't see how he's going to get better and what's going to happen for the Raiders that after bringing in Marshawn Lynch that's going to have him take that next step in his fantasy game. But regardless, I still thought that he was a $14 or $15 quarterback. So I actually threw his name out moderately early in the draft, and I ended up getting him for $9, which, again, came in way below – what I had him budgeted for. So I gladly became a car fan, I guess, in the short term. But you know, that, I know we'll get into that in a little while here. But that just goes to the show with throw out guys you're simply maybe not necessarily enamored with, but you'd be okay with having it. And there's just that little early stretch of an auction where people are a little scared to spend the money. So that's where you get most of your values.
Yeah, sitting on their wallets for sure early. Blister, during the last mock, did you have a position there that you were looking to target? I know on these mocks, it's good to practice your various budgets.
Yeah, I did, but when I couldn't get logged in time, I ended up
And
I can't remember who the second player they bought me in killed about half of my budget or 70% of my budget. So then I had to go with plan B. So I was looking at the team and I ended up, it was a two quarterback mock, and you know, I didn't end up mining my team. I ended up with Eli and Cutler as my quarterbacks. But when I got David Johnson, I went after Melvin Gordon because I thought he was a good price. So I thought it was pretty solid at 1 and 2, which then left me with my starting receivers were Garcon, Snead. I got DeSean Jackson in my flex. So they're not your big studs by any means, but, yeah. I had to, I had to spend so much on running backs. That's where I had to take a hit. So I can't even remember what I was going to do by the time I got it logged in. I was so frustrated that I went with the flow, and it was only a mock. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Two things there, Slim. Number one, I can't believe Blister decided to keep trying and actually got on. I thought he was quitting for sure. The way those texts were coming across, he is out of here. Number two, though, Slim, anything that you saw that you were targeting in that particular mock?
Not really targeting. I think my path was a little bit set early on. I bought Antonio Brown early for $60. Which then kind of led me down this path of, okay, maybe essentially call it RB0, where I knew I was going to have to go a little bit cheaper there because I still wanted to get decent wide receivers. I ideally was going to try and pair Antonio Brown with somebody, like an AJ Green or a Jordy Nelson. But they kind of went for more than I thought I could spend at the time. So I ended up getting guys like Terrell Pryor, Crabtree, and Devontae Adams, mainly because I thought they were going for a little bit cheaper than they should have. I mean, like Devontae Adams went for $15, and I have Devontae Adams ranked. I want to say he's just outside. I'm pulling him up right now. I think he's like my wide receiver 13 or 14, maybe something like that. Yeah, 14. So I thought, if I could get two or three more guys inside of my, top 16 wide receivers there, I'd have four guys that I really felt good about. And maybe to go a little bit cheaper at running back, I grabbed guys like Mixon and Spencer Ware and stuff like that. But on the whole, I didn't mind it. It wasn't necessarily what I was planning on doing. I kind of wanted to dabble with going a little more RB heavy-ish, but I wasn't going to pay up for David Johnson or anything like that. But it worked out okay. And to go back to what I think Jody said, like Carr thing. I mean, I'm not personally that high on Carr this year either, but hey, everybody's got a price, right? And if they're going for cheap enough, then you can come on my team. And I love, if someone's just sitting there, you might just have to go and pluck them like you did there. I applaud that. That's a good strategy.
Well, and Jody, and I like that too, because all of a sudden now you had them at about 12 or whatever it was, and you got $9 or $10 now that you can save and, pump somewhere else onto your team.
Well, I was able to get both my quarterbacks for $15, and I thought that was pretty great. Unfortunately, awesome. The QB2 for me was Ryan Tannehill. So obviously that's going to be potentially problematic. Fortunately, Carr's been really, really healthy. So, it might only affect that 1 week. And, we still don't know for sure if Tannehill's missing the whole season. Doesn't look good when you go and spend $10 million on Jay Cutler. It's not looking good. So, yeah. And unfortunately, this is a, this is a magazine, obviously a best ball auction. So, if Carr were to go down, then that's, going to end any chance that team had of making the playoffs. But it was interesting earlier you brought up Melvin Gordon, how I would love to have started off with David Johnson and Melvin Gordon. But what I thought was interesting about that auction is I'm high on Gordon at this time. And maybe even still right now, I had him as my number four running back. Again, the standard versus PPR. Yeah. But I was able to get Gordon for significantly under his budget. I got him for $31. And I was pretty happy with that because I had him $5 or $6 higher than that. And then I watched five of the six guys that I had below him, which is Leonard Fournette, Devontae Freeman, Todd Gurley, Jordan Howard, all those type of guys, I actually had below him, and all of them went for more money than I got for Gordon. So that me being a little bit aggressive and nominating him early and keep plugging away $1 at a time, that worked out great. Cause like I said, five of the six running backs that I had below him in my projections went for more money than him. So I thought that was a really good value.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We have him consensus as our, RB3. Right now and latest on ours. So we're high on him too and a little bit scared of,
Did you lift him ahead of Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our consensus.
as soon as Elliott, if the news comes out that he's going to miss, I don't know, say two games or more, then yeah, that's what you got to do.
Boom. So, he's a value in that draft right now. What are you seeing, out there across whatever mocks or if you're doing MFLs or whatever that is? Is there some areas you're seeing that there are values heading into your drafts? Jody, sorry?
Well, of course, you know, there's values everywhere. There's something to be said about grabbing a running back like Melvin Gordon or David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell, whoever you really, really love. You know, grab you an expensive back, early on. And then because to me, there's plenty of value in that, say, third or fourth tier running backs. These guys like, Carlos Hyde, who's gotten a bad rep, but I'm still, moderately high on myself. I'd be more than happy to scoop him up. CJ Anderson, Dalvin Cook, all these kind of guys, maybe even, the next tier down, you're looking at guys like Paul Perkins and Amir Abdullah. These are guys you can probably get for, moderately cheap. And they have a lot of potential to me. These are guys that are, when they're healthy, they're going to be 15 plus touch running backs. And if you can spend a lot on say your starting running back and fill up the next two or three slots with guys like that, I think that's a tremendous strategy because that allows you to go ahead and spend a lot more money on those more proven, more safe wide receivers like AJ Green and Antonio Brown, all those kind of guys. It's not that hard. If you're able to shave a few bucks at your RB2 and RB3 slot, it's not that hard to actually load up all your money on your wide receivers. Now, of course, with that caveat, you're going to have to lay off tight end, which is something that I almost always do. And you know, one of my favorite draft strategies is throwing out those Jordan Reed and Rob Gronkowski names right around maybe in the first quarter to one third of the draft when people still have money and you're starting to see that first panic as some of the studs are going off the board. For all those guys you're not really interested in and watch people spend, you know, over what they should on these positions. Yeah. And you just sit back and you know what, especially in the PPR league, I'll go ahead and throw out my $4 bid on Jason Witten and I'll be just fine.
Yeah, for sure. Blister, in the mock the other night, they're just sitting there watching and looking for values. I had Nurinski sitting beside me, so I was a little bit distracted, but sitting there late with my $1 guys, I saw tons of value sitting there in the list, but I was so scared on how and when to nominate to get those value guys that maybe at the dollar, my max bid being $3 and looking through everybody's rosters and seeing, well, oh, Blister still has $8 with four slots to go. What am I going to do? And I was holding on a guy like Cole Beasley, who I think can easily, you know, be a startable every week for you. And then I waited and finally I got him. Like, was there any values on that particular, go around on Monday night that you saw?
No. Just kidding.
Thanks. No, I needed the 6 hour buildup while you unmuted your mic and then.
just screwing with you. Yeah, there was a lot. I thought there was a lot more than normal because most of the guys blew so much of their money basically on their starting lineup. And so much was spent again on quarterback. So I thought there was a ton of value left. And, you know, I just think back to the past. Yeah, I think it's great that you can get some value, but I don't think you should wait and just rely on all the value guys that are at the end, like your Garcons and Sneeds and those guys, hoping they're going to carry your team. It's nice to have a stud to be the backbone and then have some of these guys in there because, you know, I've seen it before where you get a lot of these guys, but they're just not enough to put you over the edge from one week to the next sometimes. So yeah, I think, you know, it's worth spending your money, but again, it's all relative, I guess, to each draft, to the scoring, to the guys you're playing against, because everything, you know, changes. I think, you know, for example, this year in our auction, our big one, you know, I'm probably going to be more willing to spend extra money on running backs than I am on receivers this year. And that'll be the first time I felt that way in the last few years, but it's just a slight tweak in the scoring. And I think I see them being more valuable. So you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, for sure. And Slim, like I saw some values. I was really happy with Matt Stafford for, I think I got him for $10 in that 2QB, perennial top 10 guy, especially in the 2QB. I was happy with that. And there's guys like Jody was mentioning with the, you know, the Amir Abdullahs and those guys that I think are going to find you lots of value this season.
Well, yeah, I think definitely a couple of those guys are going to hit, and he's right. I think either you maybe spend on one running back and then you just throw some darts with some of these guys that have some upside and you hope to maybe you find that this year's Jay Ajayi or something like that and you're probably, got a very good shot at winning your respective league. Or you just smash all these early wide receivers. You leave with Julio and AJ Green or something, and then you just kind of go a little bit more RB0. So those are probably the two most common things I'm debating right now at this. And when I'm tweaking things is, do I want to spend on one running back and then kind of, does it hamper me at wide receiver? Do I just want to try and crush my first tier wide receivers, especially if you can get a value there, on one of them. But, I would love to leave a draft with, Odell Beckham and Julio Jones or something like that, because I think those guys to me offer a lot of, I don't want to call it upside, I guess, because we know they're going to be good, but I think that they could finish 1 and 2 in a lot of, different range of outcomes. They could be the top two fantasy wide receivers this year with the offenses that they have. But yeah, I don't know. I think there's a few guys that could break out down there. It's maybe hard to find. Could it be a rookie? I know I found myself getting a lot of Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon in that situation just because, why not? I mean, I think that they have as much potential as some of those other guys, to do that. So yeah, I think it's quite a range. And I find too, it drops off pretty significantly after that too. So it's kind of your last stand to spend maybe that 10 to 15 bucks. Because what you're going to get at say 8 or 7 can be kind of gross looking. I mean, I don't want any like Garrett Blunt, things like that. So then if I don't get anything there, then I'm probably going to wait and go super cheap and try and hit on guys like, whether it's Procise or, Duke Johnson or one of the Denver running backs potentially. Maybe even Terrence West or something like that, and hope that he can kind of do something the first few weeks and maybe keep Kenneth Dixon on the back burner for a little bit. But, yeah, it's kind of no man's land in one spot, so you got to be careful.
Jody, I'm listening to Slim, and Duke Johnson, that is the guy that comes to mind. He's often someone I'm kind of staring at in every single draft so far just because of the value and the upside that he could bring, especially in a PPR league. Who are guys that right now you just seem to be always drafting or always sitting there right in your queue?
James White is a guy that I've added probably to the majority of my teams, not necessarily trying to overreact to the short yardage role that he had there towards the end of the Super Bowl. It's all fresh in our minds, but it's the fact that it's blatantly obvious to me that he surpassed Deion Lewis as the receiving down back. I want to say James White had, 50, 60 receptions last year. I understand today they released a depth chart that had Deion Lewis and James White on top of it, but, I don't buy into that at all. Now, that, caveat there is obviously we should all know better than to trust Bill Belichick or what they're going to do with their running backs. But I like James White as that receiving down back, and I think right now – White's the safest bet out of the New England backfield because Mike Gillisley, he came in and punched in some short yardage there in the first week of training camp, but he hasn't played in a week. He's been hurt. So, Rex Burkhead to me, again, this is a guy that does everything really, really, really well. He's a special teams ace. He can block, he can catch out of the backfield, and he can run short yardage. So, that's something that,
I need the dollar, right?
he can take carries away from Mike Gillisley too. So, it comes with a little risk, but, James White again is somebody that I find myself targeting a lot. Duke Johnson, I don't have any problems with, but, he's obviously only going to be a PPR option. You get into standard, he's pretty much going to do nothing for you. But what keeps Duke Johnson down is that he is kind of like the, Julian Edelman, Jarvis Landry of running backs, where he's just going to catch a bunch of tons of passes, but he just has like an aversion to the end zone, which kind of caps his, caps his ceiling and it keeps him a little lower than you'd like to see. Running back is just so weird this year because, you guys are talking about your projections and your stats, so clearly you're pretty familiar with things here. But, how deep do you go at running back where you feel really safe? 12, maybe 14, depending on how you feel. about Isaiah Crowell and Leonard Fournette, Todd Gurley, that range of the lower tiered RB1s. Because after that, you know, there's really just a lot of uncertainty. Lamar Miller is maybe the last guy you could put in that top part of the running backs. But after that, you get into the Carlos Hydes or the Eddie Lacy's, the CJ Andersons, these kind of guys that, you know, they really aren't safe at all because they could go anywhere from you could see them finishing as top 10 running backs this year, but you could also see them falling off altogether because they're in really, really hard to predict situations this early on. So running back dries up really, really early. That's why we've said, I think, a couple times that I really like to leave an auction with at least one superstar running back, and then you take your, you know, you take your chances later of some of the guys that, that all of us have hit on here, some of those upside guys. Maybe Bilal Powell is a veteran that you throw in that mix. That's what I would favor doing because running back is just so thin this year. And, you know, it may be thin, but there's also so much turnover from time to time. But I feel more comfortable walking away from the auction with, like, you know, the one I've talked about here with Melvin Gordon. I was perfectly happy with that. My next running back was Eddie Lacy. And at the time, I felt pretty comfortable with it. I'm starting to kind of regret it because after that, Terrence West was somebody that I spent a couple bucks on that you know, once they released announced that Kenneth Dixon was out for the season, I felt a little better about a $2 bid for Terrence West. But after that, I have some, you know, some rookie running backs that I threw minimum bids out on. So I'm going to need some breaks to go right to be competitive there at the running back position.
Right. So, Blister, Jody's talking right now about, you know, feeling good about attacking a guy like Melvin Gordon in his standard draft. We got a Twitter question that came in from one of Jody's tweets. So at Paul Jose Joseph Jr. Jose, why am I reading it that way? Because I'm a horrific reader. Anyways, Blister, he asked a question about this. It's a 10-team PPR Superflex, which we've been talking about a lot tonight too, a $200 budget. How are you attacking that? And we'll go around the horn here, Slim, after Blister, and then back to Jody. How are you attacking that 10-team PPR Superflex?
Well, I think one thing right off the bat, it's a 10-team league, so there's going to be solid players on the waiver wire. You know, there's two less teams being drafted from what we're used to being in the 12-team league. So I think I'm going to go pretty hard at my starters and not worry too much about how much I spend on my bench because the bench players are there, but there's still going to be players beyond the bench that are going to be helpful to you, these fantasy teams. So I think I'm going to spend hard on my starting lineups. Again, because it's only 10 team, I think there's going to be a little bit more on the waiver wire in terms of quarterbacks and tight ends versus in a 12 team league. So I'm not going to, I still can't see myself spending a pile of money at the tight end or quarterback position because of that. So I think it's really, really important that you try to, if you can, lock down a top four running back, if you could, top five, and probably one of the top six wide receivers. I think if you can do that with your team and target the majority of your funds, probably, I'd say, 50 to 60% of my budget, I might target those two positions, and hopefully I get it for a little bit less. But in the 10-team league, you probably will, because obviously there's that much less money out there. There's two less teams at $200, so you probably will get them for a little bit slightly better deal. But I think that's how I would do it. I'd go hard after a good RB1 and wide receiver one to start my team and save very little for my bench, knowing that beyond my bench, there's going to be players on the waiver wire I can address and pick up.
Good stuff, Blister. Slim, what are you adding to that?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. I mean, standard, I want one marquee running back, maybe even a LeSean McCoy or something like that if I miss out on some of those, you know, Melvin Gordons and DJs, the guys we talked about. You know, I'd probably be looking at spending somewhere between 15% of my budget on the quarterbacks. I would lean towards somebody kind of more medium priced. And again, it's knowing your league. Like Jody said, you know, you play with experts, you know, the quarterbacks are probably going to be cheaper, and you're playing with, you know, average people. They still want to spend at quarterback a lot of the time. So you're probably not going to get Rodgers or Breeze, Brady, but you know, maybe Wilson slides. I've seen Cam Newton drop quite a bit in drafts. He might be a QB1 that I'd go after. And then I might try and grab a guy like Tyrod Taylor, or Carson Palmer, somebody like that, that probably going to go for a little bit cheaper. Andy Dalton's kind of our common streaming type cheap quarterback. So I could lock up my QBs with two guys like that, and maybe I spend a buck on maybe it's a guy like Watson or Kaiser or something that I think could maybe start. Maybe it's Pat Mahomes even, somebody that could start hopefully maybe by mid-season. If he doesn't, I drop him and I pick somebody else up, or, you know, I hopefully only need them for 1 or 2 weeks just for buys, and hopefully everyone stays healthy. But yeah, then I want to try and get another top wide receiver. So, you know, whether it's Julio or somebody like that, it's kind of like we talked about. You want to get a couple studs, and I think there's a lot still that you can do with the depth pieces to fill out a roster and make it pretty good. And again, it's kind of like Jody said, I'm always going cheap at tight end, so I wouldn't be spending much there.
And so, Jody, I probably should ask you first, because they probably said pretty much everything you want to say. 10-team PPR flex, anything you want to add to that?
I thought his point about waivers was really, really good, and I would have definitely would have hit on that, but I think he covered it pretty well. Interesting, though, with Superflex, because you have two different monsters here. First, you have it's just a 10-team, which totally changes things up.
Absolutely.
Actually, quite dramatically. It doesn't sound like it would, but it does. But the Superflex, obviously, that changes things, too. I'm in agreement. I would probably hold off on the top tier of quarterbacks. Not really a lot of need there, especially with quarterback being so deep. You hit on Carson Palmer, one of my favorite values at quarterback. He's regularly being selected in the 20 to 22 range, sometimes even lower than that. He was really, really good down the stretch last season. I want to say he was a top three fantasy quarterback over the last 5 or 6 seasons. I mean, 5 or 6 weeks of the season. And keep in mind that Arizona's receiving core was just decimated by injuries last year. Palmer is really, really good, especially in the auction because he's going so cheap. But I would try that to, if I possibly could, I would obviously spend a little more on quarterback with it being super flex. I'd love to have any pair of that middle tier of the elite quarterbacks. That's, Roethlisberger, Marcus Mariota, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Tyrod Taylor, Dak Prescott, all these kind of guys that are in that range. If you could somehow walk away from that auction with a pair of those guys and just hammer the depth at running back and wide receiver, and I think the recurring theme here is just disregard tight end altogether, I would really, really love that starting lineup.
Yeah, for sure. Great points, guys. And I like the diversity in how to attack quarterbacks in the 10-team Superflex. Like, you know, Blister saying grab one guy and Slim saying that too and kind of sitting back, and then Jody going, no, I'm going to go over the top because, with the $200 budget in 10 teams, right? It's going to give you a little bit of that, that play as well. Love it, guys. Good stuff. That was a Twitter question. So if you have more Twitter questions, hit us up at Fantasy Auction. Slim runs that handle, and he is busy on there. He's been crushing it with polls and everything else. It was a lot of fun to watch from Japan. And speaking of Twitter feeds, a shout out to the Road Warrior, who always seems to catch us live. I don't know what Dave does in the evenings at our odd times of starting and inconsistent days of the week that we pod. He seems to always get us live, guys. I don't know if you saw his tweet come across, but he enjoyed my us not hitting it, and I'm in the basement laundry room. So shout out to the Road Warrior.
Ric Flair! New York City, Ric Flair! You're gonna find out what hard is all about!
Anyways, so that was attacking guys. Jody, who, like, are you just avoiding at all costs this year?
I'll go with the theme here. I'm pretty much avoiding, from an auction standpoint, I'm avoiding that top tier of tight ends because I just don't see the point or value in taking, you know, spending $25, $35 on Rob Gronkowski and Jordan Reed. We're already seeing the annoying injury situations come up. But there's a handful of other guys. I think it's important, especially in auction, to you know, be flexible. Be willing to bend your strategy. Again, I've said that I'm not a fan of Derek Carr fantasy value. Love him as a NFL quarterback. I just think he's a little overvalued in fantasy. But if the money's right, then I tell you what, I'm not necessarily avoiding anybody. I'll be a fan of any player. But there's a handful of guys that with the exception of the tight end that I probably want nothing to do with. Keenan Allen was brought up early in the show. He's not somebody that I have yet to have in any format in any league, whether it's dynasty or redraft or best ball. I think people with Allen are overreacting to bits and pieces of this extremely high upside we've seen from him, but in reality, he hasn't been able to put together a really, really solid season in quite a long time. And I just see the weapons that San Diego potentially has added to their offense. You're talking about two capable tight ends. Tyrell Williams was a nice breakout last year. Mike Williams, if he can get healthy, just another receiver that gets thrown into the mix. And people are forgetting about Travis Benjamin, who was actually slated to be their number three last year before he got hurt. It just makes me wonder how Keenan Allen is going to see enough targets, and especially with someone who has lower touchdown numbers, I just don't see him paying off at what he's being drafted. It's like he's being drafted and auctioned at his ceiling, and I don't ever like doing that. I'd rather take guys that have room to grow that are slightly undervalued versus paying full price for people.
Right. Oh, good points. Good points. Blister, who right now on your tiers sheet are you just kind of scratching off before you even walk in?
Same with the tight ends. Yeah, I can't see myself paying that much money for the tight end. Quarterback, you know, I never end up getting a very expensive quarterback, so that'll still be the case. And, you know, most of our leagues, it's going to be interesting this year because it is a super flex. It's probably going to run the price up a little bit more. But, you know, Rodgers and Brady and Breeze, guys like that, are probably never going to be on my squads. This year with the price, I'm probably going to, no matter what the price is on Zeke, I'm going to avoid him. It's just too much uncertainty in my mind. And if I have to, you know, I still think he's going to cost right now over $50 or more. And just to not have a player spending that much money, not having that guy the whole season, then kind of worries me. So those are some of the guys that I'm kind of scratching off my list right now.
Guy that always used to be on my list for this was Jay Cutler, but the memes with him with the dart hanging out of his mouth at the press conference, wicked. And I love that our Bears buddy Goose wants to buy a jersey. I think he's going to be able to sling it all over the field. I love what's going to go on over there. So that's a guy that used to be on my list. Slim, who's some guys that are on your list this year?
Right now, Leonard Fournette is one. He just seems to be going too much in auctions. I've never ended up in a draft with him.
I like that though too, because he's a rookie and you never know, right? Like that's that recency bias from Zeke. I like that. I like that name.
Great point.
Yeah. Well, and I don't necessarily trust that offense completely yet. I mean, mainly because of the quarterback. And again, we've talked about this on old pods. You know me, I don't necessarily like buying pieces on offenses that I feel like they have subpar quarterback play. So yeah, Fournette, I think, you know, cause he's this hot rookie. We see this a lot in drafts. People want to spend because he's the new shiny toy. They think that he's going to just take the league by storm. I don't know. I don't necessarily see that. So he's kind of priced out of my range a lot of the time. Other than that, not a lot that I won't buy. I mean, I'm having trouble on, you know, we've talked about Lamar Miller. He's still to me going a little more too expensive than what I'd be willing to pay. Someone else too is Marshawn Lynch, and I don't just necessarily dislike Marshawn Lynch. Again, I just think he's getting too much hype still in drafts with people that are excited that he's back. And yes, he plays with this good offensive line, and I think people are expecting a lot of touchdowns. I just don't know how many. And just like Jody said, I feel like he's always going at his ceiling. And I don't want to buy an aging running back with, you know, he's had back issues and things. I don't want to buy a guy like that at his ceiling. He's another guy I've yet to be able to purchase anywhere. So those are three guys that right now I'm kind of still on my, I kind of just know or I'm expecting not to get. But, you know, if they're there to value, I'd still take them. I can't do it right now.
Yeah, I mean, that was last year in our big auction. I never spend money on a quarterback, and Cam Newton's sitting there at a value, and I'm going to sort of price him for it, but I'm still thinking I'd take him if that's what it is. And then, I mean, he craps the bet anyway, so it didn't help me at all. But you got to take him at value, right? And it's just what it is, and then you roll the dice. So good stuff there, guys, on how to attack a draft, guys you're avoiding a draft. I love it. we're pushing the hour mark here, and I know that Jody's got to go. So everybody out there, make sure that if you want to support the pod, head over to your iTunes or your pod player. Give us a like and a review. That would be awesome. Head to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com. Check out the auction values there. Look at the members area. The memberships are starting to fly. I'm getting email notifications. Tons tonight already. Guys getting ready for the draft. It is August. $14.95 gets you auction specific content. 300 plus player auction values. You know, magazines, I'm resting my microphone on one tonight because that's what they're usually good for. Especially when it comes to auction, the two pages of info that it gave me on an auction, I'll just rest my mic and my beer on it. So that's good. Jody, thanks so much for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it. You know, yet another big wig that's coming on the show here, guys. We got to get our acts together.
Yeah, get out of your unfinished laundry room.
Yeah, that's killing us. It's the backdrop. Yeah,
it's the backdrop that's killing us. Yeah, that's why we're not hitting the big time. Jody, thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Appreciate it, Jody.
Thank you.
Tell everybody where they can find your stuff. Talk about your podcast. Whatever you got to do, sell it.
I host the Old School Fantasy Football Pod that is kind of on hold right now as I'm working on some other material and articles that are coming out. But I just finished something today for Gridiron Experts. I'm actually looking at undervalued players. That should be out pretty soon here. And I'll be recapping the Texans game at Texans Wire. That should probably be published tomorrow, along with I have a fantasy football outlook that's also coming for the Texans that will be published at Texans Wire tomorrow. And again, you'll start seeing my work at FanDuel starting later on this month. And make sure you can find me on Twitter at Jody Smith NFL.
Awesome stuff.
Busy, right. Man.
That's it, exactly. It's a busy time of year. It's getting real fun now, guys. All right, Jody, thanks again for coming on. We'll see you on Twitter. Blister and Slim, we'll see you on the lineup, I'm sure. There's going to be a lot of buzz about having Jody on. And for everyone else, we'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming back to you.